You know the drill. We are talking about Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show. Good to be back. I'm your co-host, Jerome Gilbert. Alongside me, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isamaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
Our resident degenerate is missing, still ducking his bookie. He had another tough week with the bets. So we brought in a ringer again for his second appearance in as many weeks, the real Italian, Will Tomasini.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And of course, the newest member, married member of the TBP family, I should say. Fresh off of mini moon, looking good, looking refreshed, looking married, looking responsible.
He's got something on his ankle right now. Oh, it's just his ball and chain right now.
Yeah. Hey, that's Statman Brad.
Yeah! Good to be back. Good to be back.
Good to have you back.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Life has been good to you?
I mean, it's only been about,
what,
a week and a couple days, but yeah, been great. Actually, no, it's been a little bit more than that, hasn't it?
It's been a week and a couple days.
It's been a week and a couple days.
It feels like a couple years, but...
Already? Oh, God, that's wow, that's a good sign, man. Yeah.
Sandra doesn't listen to the show, does she?
Oh, no, she does. I'm gonna hear it later on when I get back.
Well,
just like I said, have you been yelled at yet?
Well, I have not.
It starts,
I was going to say, I have not, so, you know... Trying to kickstart the
new beginnings.
Yeah. I mean, you're an easy one to yell at, so.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, you've been our punching bag for years. So, Sandra, welcome. It's great to have someone to blame things on. It's even better when you love that person.
It's even better when it usually is that person.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Fair. Not really at the time, no.
No.
No, it's not.
Not going to be as fun for you, but
no. Here's the thing. Yeah.
You've had years of abuse living and working with us, so I think
this is... Yeah, honestly, between this and my other trucking job, I've been ready for marriage for a long time.
Yeah, just underappreciated, undervalued, and it's always your fault.
And do way too much work, yeah. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, welcome.
Wow.
Welcome.
You'll fit right in, man.
Yeah. And all my money goes to... things I really don't care about.
Yeah.
Welcome. Marriage is like taxes.
No one understands them, but you still pay them.
Yeah. These are facts. And if you don't, you're going to get yelled at.
And you're not supposed to understand them.
By somebody.
Yeah. You're not supposed to understand them either. You're supposed to remain a mystery.
Yeah. They know all the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. The IRS and your wife possesses all the knowledge of
and
how
you have to guess
done,
them.
And you have to guess. And if you guess wrong, you could end up in jail.
And even when you do guess right, the game changes on you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Year to year, day to day.
Yeah.
It is a living document. Yeah.
That's right.
In terms of what the rules are, forever changing. So.
Nope. I was told it was $20 last year. Well, you know, it's $150 now, so deal with it.
Yep. Yesterday's price is not today's price, Brad.
Say it again.
But great to be back, you know?
Yeah, it's welcome, good to have my man.
For now, I might die after this episode, but we'll see.
Hopefully you got a life insurance policy to kick.
I have
a
great one, and she knows about that, unfortunately. So, again.
Here we go. Okay, suspect number one. We got her.
Yeah. Yep. This is on air, living testament to.
Ooh, how early on did you tell her about this life insurance policy?
Yeah.
Like, probably about a month or so ago.
Okay.
Just to get ready, like, as I was trying to, like, transition between being single to married.
Oh. I mean, I know it's not a lot because you're young and healthy, hopefully, but why?
Work gives it to me for free.
Touché.
Work gives it to me, and I have to have somebody on
might
it.
As well,
like, might as well put her on it because
might
she's
as well benefit
there.
From your death some way.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
that's the way I look at
it. It's honestly enough to, like, pay for my burial, and that's about it.
How much do you want your burial to be, my dude?
Like, they're pretty expensive. I know,
they're expensive now.
I'm just saying, light you really up, expensive. My dude.
Like, even if you
it's like you ashes to ashes, earth to earth, that, be gone
like
with you.
That's like 10 grand.
Minimum.
I see my backyard for free, my dude.
Yeah.
All right.
Unfortunately, you actually
I know
what,
you
if
can't.
You,
that's illegal.
No, no. You can do that if you're not in city limits. If you're not in city limits and it's on your own property, you can bury family within it, but there's certain rules within that. But you cannot be within city limits.
Why do you know so much about this?
True crime?
Okay.
Hey, man, you got to know the rules when we want to play by the rules.
Yep.
Okay.
I guess so.
Yeah.
All right.
If you want to burn a body legally, you find out how to do that, okay? You don't want to be caught because that leaves a stench out there, I'm assuming.
You find someone with a pig farm.
I mean, I've only burnt my hair one
pig
time.
Pig farm, fire ants, and then alligators. But then you also have to incinerate the bones. It's a process. It's a process.
Either way, maybe pigs is, I think, the best way to do it.
But you have to have to make sure that they're hungry so they actually will eat the...
Yeah, you just keep them hungry for a couple days.
Exactly, starve them for a couple days.
Okay, come on, my man.
These are, I feel like, basic knowledge for what's been out there.
Okay.
I got to say, you guys know a lot more about murder than I do, which means I should never murder anyone.
It's not murder. It's getting rid of a body.
Thank you.
There's a difference. You can't be charged with murder if there's no body to be found.
All right. So since we're already down this path, did y'all hear about that lady in South Korea who was a true crime fan?
Yeah.
And so she just murdered someone because she wanted to know what it felt like?
Yeah. Yep. Ooh, there we go.
Yep. She's going to jail for the rest of her life.
Yeah. That's what you feel like. That's what it feels like.
But hold up. The body was found, correct?
I don't know. Or she admitted to it or something.
If she admitted to it, then there's...
Brad, that's kind of...
She might not have finished that.
Yeah, well, dude, you got a computer right behind you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Brad, I was trying to talk to you guys, have a good conversation, but I'll look it
up. This has been a pretty horrible conversation,
my man.
I've enjoyed this conversation, but you know.
Okay. All right. Well...
You're welcome, audience.
There's there's two things that... Well, three things that really unite this group here. Obviously, murder being one of them. The other is our insatiable thirst for sad fans' tears.
Yes.
Good one.
Love them.
And the Michigan Wolverines.
Let's go.
Woo!
Suck it, Ohio
State. Go Blue! Hail. Love it.
No, man, Memphis boys out there.
What a day.
What a day
to be a Michigan Wolverine.
Three in a row. That's
suck it,
right.
Ohio.
Ohio State.
O-H-N-O.
That's right.
Say it again, Derek.
O-H-N-O. N-O.
Mm. Isn't there an... Ohio, no.
Oh, no.
It's supposed to be O-H-I-O, but I'm saying O-H-N-O.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Like they didn't get it.
Oh, no.
Like you didn't get it.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Hey.
Okay. All right. It's okay.
All right. Let's go back to Michigan.
Beautiful
listen,
game.
This hasn't been done since the mid-90s, I believe.
It's sad. It's sad that Michigan has been in this place for a long time, that we haven't been able to establish dominance like Ohio State has dominated us in the past decade plus.
Mm-hmm.
But three in a row feels nice to make sure that we solidify, especially with no coach. No coach.
That's right. No problem.
Don't need him. Either way, Ohio State, this is what you get. Probably going to fire Ryan Day after just because he has a terrible record against Michigan. That's it.
Ryan.
Yeah. Either way.
And in the playoffs.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
He's 0-3 against...
1-3
against Michigan, and he is
1-3
in the
playoffs.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
I think he's only lost two other games outside of that.
Yeah, I think he's lost a total of six games. Three of them are against Michigan. And then the other
I'm pretty sure they're all against top five teams.
Yeah. So it's three against Michigan, and the other three were
Clemson,
against
Alabama, and
Georgia.
Georgia.
And they're all in the playoffs. So it's like they're losing against top tier teams, but he's losing when it doesn't, like where it matters most in the game.
Either way, it's nice to know that. It's kind of funny how on this show we never talked once about the Michigan situation. We didn't want to bring tarnish to our boys on Blue. We want to let the situation just ride out.
What situation?
I don't know what
you're talking about. Last
week. All the chit chat, the disgustiness that they try to bring down, to try to bring down our man, Harbaugh. He is and who we trust. Michigan, he can walk around there pretty much and do no wrong right now.
The team.
It's going to be, that is a sovereign nation right there, Michigan, and he will defend it on all grounds, foreign, domestic, above and beyond. And below, he goes above. He does it all. So, shouts to Michigan, and thank you for this few moments. These feel good.
Yeah, it's been great. We've got to do this exact show 3 years in a row after years of tears on this show. And there's few feelings. Last year, I think, was the best just going into Ohio State.
And crushing.
Beat down city. This game, much closer contest, but still getting the interception to end the game.
Great game.
Just incredible feeling. After I was watching the game with Will, and Will says, ball don't lie, after they reversed that, or they didn't reverse, they called it an incompletion, but it certainly could have been a fumble.
No, they called it a fumble.
It was a fumble recovery.
It was a fumble recovery. And then they were saying
that's right. Thank you. That's right. That's right.
Ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie. Very next play. Drops back. Throws an interception. Just, chef's kiss. Thing of beauty. I don't know that it feels much better than this. I guess a national championship, but I don't know. As a Michigan fan, I think I would take 10 victories in a row over Ohio State versus one national championship.
I would take beating Ohio State every single year versus Weber winning a national championship.
I mean, 100%. I would like one sprinkled in there. Yeah. That would be good.
Yeah, you know? It would be nice. But like, even if we were a trash team and still beat Ohio State every single year, I would 100%. Love that just to be like, no matter what, we own Ohio State.
Just punch Brutus in the face.
There is more to, I think, that's hating Ohio State than sometimes there's the love of Michigan at times.
Agreed.
Obviously, and then go to Michigan, so I don't have like that true dying spirit. Just been a fan of it, of that beautiful looking team out there every single time you look at them in those winged helmets. That's a chef's kiss
Best helmet in the
best helmet in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
By far.
And those little leaves on the back of Ohio State's helmet.
Garbage. Buckeyes, what is that? It's disgusting. It bears no fruit whatsoever. And it's just nice to be able to
there's
hold
a nut.
It.
Yeah.
That's not a fruit, is it?
No,
it's a legume.
You're welcome.
Fair enough.
That's a bears no, a Buckeye a bears no fruit.
So here's also a fun little stat, and I love it, and the wife is listening, so she's going to hate the stat even more. So since she's admitted to liking me and wanting to pursue me, Michigan is 3-0 against Ohio State. She is an Ohio State fan.
Okay. What?
So,
what?
So, I know.
Talk about house divided,
but,
am I right?
But you know what? She is 0-3 since admitting that she likes me. And, you know, I'm loving every bit of it.
I think Sandra coming into your life is not only the best thing for you.
But it's best thing for Michigan.
And the group. And the group.
Yeah, 100%.
This is the only thing, only one of three things that we all agree on. So,
yeah.
Can we also quickly talk about Gus Johnson? Can we get him off my airways?
Oh, God.
I'm over that man talking. Like, he thinks everything he says is just like liquid gold, and it's like, my words up. They're so delicious. No.
I don't mind Gus Johnson nearly as much as Joel Klatt. I cannot stand that.
I think Joel Klatt's okay, but Gus Johnson for me is he's long past his days of being the get away from cop speed type of guy. And, but he tries so hard. Sometimes to just make something epic, say every single time, and I just he annoys me. I'm sorry, I'm over it.
Look, and I said this. Obviously, I'm a little pro Wolverine, but I said this to Jarrell when we were watching the game. It was the first quarter, and those two called Dean Blandino on speed dial faster than anybody else I've seen in my life, man. And then they're like, "Oh, Eddie George just texted me. He said he really likes the game." Blah blah blah. I was just like, "Is there? Can we get any more? Where's Brent Musburger when you need him?
Oh man, miss him.
Why can't we get a good old Brent back on there?"
He's obviously in Vegas gambling as we speak, right?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do it. He's retired at this point in time, right? Yeah, he doesn't even do the granddaddy of them all.
No.
He's out. He's done.
No.
Yeah, now we get Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt.
Okay. It's like Joel Klapp.
Yeah, I'll clap you up. But
anyway. We really ran out of steam at the end of this.
Yeah, sorry.
We started too high.
Yeah.
We really did. I mean, there's a lot of energy for this game because it was something that people were not expecting for us to do. They were not expecting Michigan to actually get the victory without Harbaugh. It was all but lost for Michigan, and it was nice to turn it around and shove it down their throats.
Yeah, I believe Ohio State had better odds to make the college football playoff than Michigan did entering that game, even though Michigan, I think, was slightly favored in that game. Either way.
About 2.5 to 3.
Either way,
which is about right for the home team.
The media loves to bend the knee to Ohio State and everything that they do. They love to nestle underneath the nuts. That is Ohio State. And Michigan has to stand on the wayside, and it has to take it, this brutal attack that's been happening on all fronts. So, again, shouts to Jim Harbaugh for steadying the ship. Shouts to the coaching staff in general, keeping that team together, and for that beatdown that we are holding over Ohio State forever and always. Thank you.
And I didn't realize this. I really wasn't watching the Penn State game. I didn't realize they did not throw a single pass in the second half against Penn State. That was impressive.
They just ran it
37 times.
I mean, JJ's been hurting a little bit, but he did look delicious out there this past weekend. And not to mention more delicious from Crum. Yeah, that is a fantastic running attack that we have. Unfortunately, to lose Inter on the line because our line is fantastic. And I didn't see the injury, but everyone said it was disgusting. They wouldn't show a replay of it.
He shattered his fibia and tibia.
So
he had to have immediate surgery.
My dude was in a air cast.
They didn't even show the
replay. So.
And I was trying to go back and trying to see what had happened. All I saw was... His leg got landed on, but that was it.
He had to have instant surgery because they posted a picture of him later. He was still he still had his football gloves.
I'm guessing probably a compound fracture, and those are things that are never hard. Those are hard to come back from, and they're very dangerous just because the infections that can set in. But I'm no doctor.
All right,
practicing medicine.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
But yeah, no, that was a really good game. Like, I mean, they put up a stat the other day where it was just like whoever's in the last 22 games, whoever has had the most rushing yards has won the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty telling right there. The last 3 years, we've just been running it down their throat and everything. So it's been really nice.
Is Ryan Day the new James Franklin of college football? Just can't win the big one? He might be, right?
Yeah, he might be up there. I mean, like, I'll give him a little bit more than that because, like, I feel like Franklin can't beat anyone that's past number 15 or something.
Fair enough.
At least Ryan Day can, like, he's beaten some decent teams in there and stuff. Like Brad said, the six losses he has is against top-tier rivals, but you're still losing that game.
Yeah.
It's more, he's now getting more compared to Cooper that was at Ohio State.
Okay.
Who has, like, a Hall of Fame career, but was, like, 2-10 versus Michigan.
Glaring thing, though, Ohio State, if they do get a quarterback, they're going to be a really scary team. But granted, Maserati Marv, again, stupid nickname out there.
Yes, I was just about to go there with you.
Gus Johnson, that's a stupid nickname. Maserati Marv, what is that? Please
I was going to say, where did that even come from?
You need to stop.
No one's called him that. Ever. No one wants to say his father's name because, you know, you might get dealt with.
The connotation with Marvin Harrison is out there.
Yeah. They're like the pig farm stuff we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Or at the car wash.
You might find yourself there if you mess around at his car wash. So,
if you don't know the stories, please start Googling, y'all.
Yeah, check out the GQ article. We will never discuss it because I like my life and I like living. So
he hears everything. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
He's more watchful than Santa.
That's right. Maserati Marv did have a hell of a game, a hell of a season. Heisman finalist. We'll see what he does there. He's a hell of a player. But, yeah, three in a row feels great.
Oh, yes. That's
feels
nice.
Really, really good. Yeah. Is there a way for Ohio State to still sneak into the playoff?
It's a wild way. But, yeah, they could technically get in.
It's going to be tough. They need a lot of help. I mean, yeah, it's going to be really tough. They're going to have to have. I mean, even if teams do lose, because the biggest one would be Georgia not winning against Alabama, and then Alabama being able to find their way in, but that would still probably mean Georgia making their way in into it. And then you probably, if, like, let's say, well, even if Washington, Oregon, one of those teams make it, if Florida State doesn't win the ACC championship, then that might be.
Texas can't win. Their championship can't win either.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be tough. I don't want to see if they do. Oh my god, I'm gonna be so mad.
I mean, I'd say that Georgia has to beat Alabama for them to make it in.
Yeah, and then you need
Georgia, Washington,
and then you need Florida State to lose.
That's a lot of help.
Yeah,
a lot of help where everyone else below them loses, and then the top three
win their
championships.
Yeah,
I just want to mention that Iowa, who Michigan is playing in the conference championship, they are Vegas has them scoring less than a touchdown in that game.
I don't think they've ever scored a touchdown this entire season.
And they're playing in a conference championship. And you know what, sir? You might not be wrong. They just do not score.
I think the first one of the season was against Nebraska.
They don't believe in scoring touchdowns in Iowa, okay? Yeah. They just love corn and kicking.
Yeah, I believe it is the over-under is set at 35. Michigan is a 22.5-point favorite.
Makes sense.
You do the math. Or it's 28, right? Yeah, I believe it's 28. So that means that they think Iowa is going to score 6.5 or under, which is just incredible. So we'll see. Now, real quick, this will be the last time that this game has these type of stakes attached to it because we are opening up the college playoff. Expansion is happening next season to 12. I hate it. I might come around. But just like baseball, I thought it made the end of the season more interesting. But I think that college football has the most perfect format for a regular season out of all sports.
Every week matters.
Every week matters. Yeah. And I think that...
Because you could be out of the college football championship week one.
Yeah.
Week two, you could be like, well, that's none. The season's over.
You do it wrong.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I like that. I like that every game matters. I like that these upsets can mean so much to both teams, right? To the underdog and to the favorite who ends up losing. You can be out of the playoff midway through the season. Now, I understand the argument. Expanding the playoffs is going to make it so more teams have a chance. But really, how many... It's going to be a long time before we see like a 12 catch fire and win a championship. So,
well, the one thing I'm super excited for is they're going to expand it to 12. Alabama now gets back into the college playoffs and then gets booted in the semifinals or in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I'm into that too.
I would love seeing that every single year because Alabama talks about how much they want to be there. It's like, all right, cool. You want to be there? You're now there.
The problem is they're not going to lose. They're going to win because it's Alabama and they're so damn good. Did you not see that Iron Bowl, my dude?
Yeah, they barely won that game.
But did they win? They won an
against an Auburn team.
Yeah, they still won, though, in Auburn, too. And it's just disgusting. It's Alabama is so good. I hate the fact that they are. Trust me. I don't want to say these words right now. But I'm just saying them because they're fact. And you have to accept them as fact because Nick Saban has made his deal with the devil. And he is doing what he does out in Alabama. So let the man cook until he's out of there. I want to see him to get fried up. Trust me, I do. I want to see that. But like you're just opening up the door for Alabama to win every single year, I feel. Because he loves to make his team play in the big games.
Yeah, for sure. But you could argue, man, that like this year they should have probably three losses.
And they don't.
And they don't. Yeah. They pulled out some miracles. But how many years in a row are you going to pull out miracles?
I know that,
man.
But still, like I'm just saying, Nick Saban, he is very good at making sure his guys are
but
ready.
But they're
for
on
it.
The downturn, is the
beautiful
no
doubt
part.
They are. The field has been leveled right now because everyone can play their players now, not just Alabama. And I don't just say that. Everyone was paying it before even Alabama was paying them. So it's blah, whatever. But either way, I don't want to say it just because like it means, like I said, the weeks are less important.
Yes.
You know?
Which the end of the season, yes, it will finish with a fury.
But I was going to say, the beginning of the season, like the first 10 games, or the first like 5 games, don't really matter.
Yeah, not to mention we're just away with all the conferences anyway now, so just throw that off the wazoo.
Exactly.
So
like next year you're going to have USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon joining the Big Ten. Right.
Yeah,
what's that going to look like?
Yeah.
Right.
And then the Big 14. I was thinking the beginning of this whole conversation of the realignment, it might be better for the Big Ten if you split up Michigan and Ohio State. Now you have those two facing
different
off twice.
Yeah.
Twice now. Yeah. That would be the most.
I'm sure it'll do
that would be the best decision if they split them up in their divisions.
Yeah, we'll see.
It'll
I don't
be
know. I don't
do it.
I don't love the idea of expansion, but
we'll end on a good note right now. I want to say just because I want to give a quick shout out to our comments in our Instagram live right now. Ryan Day does have one of the most punchable faces out there.
Yes,
oh,
no
great,
doubt.
100%.
No doubt. Easy. What does very punchable face? What does he look like? Because I say he looks like a very angry auto mechanic. He owns a dealership.
I would say he looks
Midwest.
Like a fat Tim Allen, which I think fat Tim Allen would be an auto mechanic.
Oh, or he owns a hardware store.
Yeah,
agreed.
He looks like a dad that's disappointed in his kid for not going to like Yale or Harvard.
I don't see that.
No?
No. I see more blue-collar, angry man, watches a lot of Fox News, drinks.
And he should never shave his beard again.
No.
Oh, my gosh, He looks terrible.
Either way, very punchable. Right. So, thank you.
Very
thank
punchable
you.
Face.
Thank you to the comments.
Who gave us that? Do you remember?
Young Striper.
Oh, shout out to Aaron, our boy. All right, shall we move on and talk a little bit of NFL?
Yeah. Keep the football train rolling. Yeah.
All right, Friday, I saw something that no one's ever seen, and I immediately text Will because his team was involved. As the lowly Jets just jetted their way into halftime.
It's damn near butt fumble-esque. It's only thing it's not butt fumble-esque is like you can't say butt fumble with this one. This is just...
Yeah, it's not as fun.
Pick six, 99-yard pick six.
On a Hail Mary. We've never seen that.
It's stupid. But it's just not butt fumble with Mark Sanchez, too.
For
like
sure.
The Sanchez.
Yeah.
Like that was just a beautiful moment all wrapped up into one flop of a play.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
But in terms of the stupidity of it, this is more stupid.
Yeah. It's incredible.
This one's the fact that it could happen. Like, I could see you running into the big ass of your lineman in front of you and then just, like, getting flopped down. It looks stupid to the eyes, but, like, the improbability of the 99-yard pick six on a Hail Mary is just as improbable as it gets.
They said Garrett Wilson ran 174 yards on that play.
He hates his life.
Oh, yeah. What a waste of talent right now.
I mean, the entire Jets, I just feel... got it once again. Shout out to Aaron Rodgers for tanking another organization.
Yeah.
Beautiful job that he has done.
Well,
gave them hope, and they held on to that hope, and that hope has led them to despair.
Yep.
So shouts to Aaron Rodgers for wanting to prove to the world that he is the best at coming back from injuries, which he probably will be. And his ego will be bigger than ever, and he will claim how he is a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we still have yet to see him even jog, so... you know, long way to go on that recovery, except not according to him. He said he'll be back in 2 weeks, which would be a miracle, as you mentioned. The other game from yesterday that I wanted to mention, that really one of the only other games from yesterday that was worth mentioning, Bills-Philly.
Yeah.
Great game. Hell of a game. Jalen Hurts really building that case for an MVP. I told
hey,
y'all
that guy.
To drop money on him in the offseason, coming into this season for MVP. He is the truth.
Philly has got a bunch of dudes on that team.
They got dudes
on that team. Yeah, from just like their defensive line, their offensive line. Yeah. They got players on the outside. They got great skill positions from running backs to wide receivers. And again, they have Jalen Hurts. So next week when you all play them, it's not even, what is it, Sunday? Is that the Sunday night game?
No, it's 1:25.
That has to be flexed at some point in time.
100%.
If they don't flex that, I will never believe in the flex ever again. Because that is the one game. That's a Super Bowl preview right there. No, I'm sorry. That's an NFC Championship preview, 100% right there. And if, because that's the two best teams in the NFC, bar none.
Yep.
Arguably in the NFL.
In the NFL, yes, you could argue that as well. And this Philly squad, my goodness.
You got to give them credit because, like, you know how everyone says, "Oh, can you win ugly or anything like that?" And they can do it.
They do it
any which way possible. Yeah. Man.
They
to
do
win
it all.
Ugly, to win from behind. You know what I mean? They came back against what? Kansas City and Buffalo, right?
Yep.
Two quote unquote perennial Super Bowl teams, right? They can do it every which way, and honestly, they look better than they did last year.
Yeah,
you they know? Do. Yeah, they're more complete.
What's the rookie's name? Jalen Carter. Right?
Jalen Carter. Yeah, on the defensive line. Hey, is nasty. Like,
that guy's got some skills.
He is real a force to be reckoned with, man. Right now. They are making it look easy out there. So yeah, shouts to the Eagles. You all are going to do it. This is going to be fun.
Yeah,
and I mean, I will say the other that's that. I don't know what I'm feeling about these Eagle uniforms right now. I don't know if I like them or if I don't. I wanted to like them so bad. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm fully on board yet.
I'm good with them. Yeah. I mean,
I'd rather they wear those than those atrocious like yellow and baby blue ones that they wore a couple years back or something. It was just from like when they first originated the NFL. Oh my God. They don't even have names. It's just like a yellow dot with a number on there. Horrible.
Speaking of yellow, which one's worse? That one or the Boston uniform? The Red Sox?
The Bumblebee? No.
The Red Sox one.
I mean, those Pittsburgh Bumblebee ones were disgusting.
Yeah. The Pittsburghs were awful.
Yeah, those were awful.
Yeah, Boston's were pretty
But, I mean,
horrible.
I feel like that was, like, a classic one for, like, way back in the early 1900s. Like, with all the colleges, all the professional teams did that.
Sometimes there's a reason why fashion changes.
It does.
Yeah, and sometimes you just leave stuff in the past for a reason.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. Agreed.
No, I'm okay with this. Yeah.
Though. Okay. All right. Either way.
But what about Eagles, the Bills, though? Like, for real, though? Like, I mean,
Josh Allen is now 0-5 in overtime.
I mean,
they
that
changed
can't go on.
The rules
that
in overtime for him, and he still can't get it right.
That can't just be on him right now. That's got to go on Sean McDermott, their head coach, who was just as well holding that 0-5 record. He played like a coward at the end of that game. The fact that, I mean, you got Josh Allen, who's been slinging it right there. You decide to waste a timeout on their field goal attempt. You didn't have much time to think about it.
Yeah.
But you could have had two timeouts with the ball back with about like 20 seconds or so.
Yep.
You could have made something happen. You could have made just get into field goal range is all you needed to do.
Yep.
But no, you didn't want to do that. You kneeled down anyway. Disgusting plays from Sean McDermott. That's a coward's way out. Got to win in that way in regulation if you can, especially against a team like the Eagles, because they're a team that's just going to win.
Yeah,
so you got to beat them when you got a chance.
I agree.
I think the Bills are going to get kind of blown up this offseason.
I think so, too. They got a lot of older players, a lot of older
contract money, too.
Yeah, a lot of older dudes on that
not to
defense.
Mention, you have Stephon Diggs, who, if he doesn't get fed, he gets mad very easily.
Yeah, and he's already
That's
said
a wide receiver.
That,
yeah, exactly. He's your diva wide receiver.
Yeah,
classic
he already said
diva
he's
receiver.
Out
yeah.
after the season, yeah. so...
He did?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he... I think he intimated that he would be leaving after the season, so... also not a great look when your brother is going on Twitter and saying that Josh Allen wasn't doing any of this before Stephon Diggs got there, and not wrong. So,
very true.
You know, it's kind of interesting how...
I take it back. He was throwing interceptions before Stephon Diggs.
That's true.
So
he's been consistent there.
Yeah.
Eight games in a row with an interception.
Fast.
It's interesting how just one season, not even a full season, our perspective has shifted at least slightly about, you know, two top-tier quarterbacks in Josh Allen and, oh, my God.
Joe Burrow?
No, Justin Herbert.
Oh, yes. Yeah, very true.
I still think both of them are incredibly talented teams or dudes. I think most teams would like to have them starting as their QB, but it's not been a great year.
I mean, Allen had 2 years of just looking like, okay, if this guy continues right now, the moon is his landing spot. You know, he was looking, because that arm is something else, and we love powerful
arms. We love big arms.
We love a big arm, man.
Yeah.
All right, if you can fit into a tight space, talk dirty to me.
So, real quick, Stephon Diggs talked to NBC Sports, says 100% not true.
Lies.
I don't know where the source is, but he's going to nip it in the bud right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And say that he did say it.
But again, this is coming from cryptic tweets,
so who knows what the truth is. But he said it out loud that he's not leaving.
I did a quick Google search to find out what the mess was that happened this offseason between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. And it was a lot of hearsay, but I hear it's a pretty messy situation, which always leads me to believe it's over a girl. Dudes will get messy over a girl real quick. But who knows? I don't know that. I'm just speculating, recklessly speculating.
I will say for Herbert, it's a much smaller sample size than we have from Allen. And I think he's, like you guys are saying, he's got that talent. But, man, can he get a coach that just, like, calls, like, a normal ball game?
Man,
like,
his coach doesn't know.
He's just like, how can I make this harder?
Yeah.
How can I get fired before the season's over? He does have the Charger curse on him. Seriously. That's something that nobody else has to deal with unless you're on the Chargers.
As long as he's on the Chargers, he'll be losing one-score games, and he'll be down
for the rest
eight
of his life.
With the length of the football field to go and 1 minute with no timeouts.
And he will have amazing talent around him, too.
Yeah.
He will always have amazing talent around him.
And I want to ask you guys this, because I saw it today, and I was like, no way. I know this is a way a team that we never talk about, but how about the Panthers firing their coach?
I mean, it's about time.
He's been there for a year.
Well, he was the wrong hire to begin with. I didn't like it from the get-go. That being said, we are a abysmal of a destination. We are as dreary as you can get. We are a desolate wasteland. No one would ever want to go there. Our owner is I hate David Tepper with all my being right now. The guy is an overmanager. He is worse than Jerry Jones at this point in time right now with the way he's going about it. He was having a meeting with his coach every single week to discuss what they did wrong in the game before that. So
that's obviously
everyone loves about that idea. It's a bad look. Not to mention, we do not have a pick this first round, even though we probably will end up with the first round pick in the draft. That's going to the Bears. So shout out to the Bears. We give that up for Bryce Young, and we have to stare in the face of Bryce Young while CJ Stroud is looking all nice and shiny out in Houston.
So let me ask you, do you think there's massive regret there?
David Tepper is doing his best right now because he was the one that wanted Bryce Young. Everybody else was not wanting Bryce Young because everyone has the head about them to realize when a guy is 5'8", he doesn't perform well in the NFL usually. There's one exception out there for the most part, okay? And he wasn't Drew Brees. And Drew Brees is still a skeptical person right now. I'm sorry. That being said, why did we end up with a guy that's under 5'10"? All because he was smart and had to have seafood at dinner. That's why we got Bryce Young. David Tepper liked that fact that he got seafood at dinner. Someone that gets seafood at a steakhouse. Okay? That's our quarterback right now. CJ Stroud is out there balling. Looking like he is the second coming of Tom Brady.
On a first-year coach, too.
Yeah. Well, that D'Amico Ryans is a special coach right there. Yeah. I would love to have D'Amico Ryans as my head coach. I will say Bryce Young came into a terrible situation. We don't have an O-line. And again, we had Frank Reich, who is supposed to be this quarterback guru.
And you traded his best...
best wide receiver. We have no skill positions anyway. We don't have CMC out there. We got rid of him for next to nothing.
Miles Sanders.
The only reason why we somehow kept on Brian Burns, and he's probably going to be gone at some point too. Because if you got him, I would have ridden in the street. I would have been the only one because no one cares but me.
Yeah. That's fair. Let's take a break. Rubbing a little hot. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Right here on FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Want to give a shout-out to you for spending some of your evening with the nonsense it is we got going on around here. Want to give a big shout-out to our friends over at Grub CSA Farm, offering sustainably grown local produce from their farm in Chico. Grub's weekly CSA vegetable box season has begun. To sign up for your weekly box of produce, visit grubcsafarm.com or you can call them 530-680-4543. You can also check them out on Facebook. Grub produce is also available at all Chico Farmers Markets. All right. Yeah, we were revving pretty hot.
Vroom, vroom.
All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to. But before we do all that, Derek has the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. We go international to start off with right now, and we go to India. Big place out in India. A lot of people out in India. A lot of people out in India.
We got a couple folks.
Some would say too many people. I'm not saying that because I love my Indian folks. And I love Indian food. It's delicious. But you take this
1.408 billion.
Bill.
That's a lot.
That's a bill. Bill, baby.
Listen, no country, any country, needs that many people.
Well, China does. And so does India, because they both have a billion.
Okay.
But either way, too much. That's a lot of poop. I'm just thinking about right now. It's a lot of waste you got to deal with right there. I mean, that's a lot of food, everything. That's a lot of everything you got to worry about.
1.4 billion poops people, per day, per, at least.
Minimum.
Yeah.
I hope, at least, if you're not.
Well, there's some people that, you know.
Skip a day.
Skip a day, and there's some that, you know, go twice a day.
Yeah. Or three times. More.
Yeah, so it makes up. Either way, we move it along. Yeah. Because we go to the Pune's Vatnadi area in India, where a couple had a little dispute. It's unfortunate. Couples having disputes, that's not fun. They need to reconcile and realize the love that got them together.
Brad's going to find out about that.
Sometimes in India, there's no love involved at all. It's just sight on scene. But this was not the case. This was a love marriage. Lucky for those two. Where we have my man, Nikhil Khanna, with his wife, Renuka. Been married for 6 years. Sometimes the love is lost in 6 years. That's all it takes. For Renuka, it wasn't just lost. It was obliterated. Why? Because Nikhil failed to provide her to her needs. Needs on her birthday. Her need to go to Dubai. Which he did not fulfill. How dare you, Nikhil, not take your wife to Dubai on her birthday? That's disgusting. If your wife wants to go to Dubai, you say for how long? That's your only answer, right? Wrong. His other answer was no. You're not going to Dubai because I don't have that type of money. We're not going to Dubai. Didn't spend on expensive gifts like she wanted. So what is she supposed to do? What is Renuka supposed to do when her husband doesn't give her the expensive needs her body desires? You punch him in the face and kill him. That's what you do.
What kind of punch was this?
It was a one punch. Hit him in the right way. Caused severe bleeding, loss of consciousness, and life.
One punch jump.
Nikhil, tough way to go. Renuka, whew. Sign her up, y'all. Where's Vegas when you need her? My girl got some pop.
So she'll
be able to take yourself to Dubai and put yourself as a name card. They love boxing in Dubai. If you got that type of power, they'll bend over backwards for you. Unlike your husband, who can't bend over anymore.
Jesus.
Well, he's actually forever bent over, I guess.
No, he's laid out.
They don't usually keel him over in that situation. He's laid out. So forever and always, Renuka, we know as a lady, you better take her to Dubai. You want to go to Dubai? You say, Renuka, yes.
When?
Well, again, how long? Where do you want to stay? Or it's off with your head.
Jesus. Clear through it.
That's the news, y'all.
All right. Oh, my God. All right. All right, so enough about murder and more murder and murdering Ohio State. Let's class up the show a bit. Bring in our foreign correspondent who covers the sports we didn't pay enough attention to over the weekend. As we do every week, we bring on Aaron. Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. I think the general mood in here is pretty solid. How are you doing?
Not bad. I'm proud of you guys.
All right. Well, thank you. Let's get it. Last F1 race of the season. What happened?
Well, look, I know you guys are tired of it, but Max Verstappen won. Surprise, surprise. The Constructors' Championship had already been clinched a few weeks ago, but there were some things that came down to the wire. For instance, Fernando Alonso and Charles Leclerc both had 206 points. They had to go to essentially a three-way tiebreaker. Who had the most Grand Prix finishes, who got the most second places, who got the most third places. Alonso had the most, so he ended up in fourth place. Leclerc ended up in fifth. I don't think this was a season. Obviously, it was a season just about Red Bull, but I think there are so many other things that came out of it. For instance, McLaren, we have Lando Norris, who got sixth. Some other big storylines, I think, are Sergio Perez, obviously. Who knows where he's going to end up. And then just really Red Bull's historic season. They went 1-2 in the Constructors' Championship the first time ever. They won the 95.45 of the races this season. The last time that was done was back in 1988. It's just really an incredible run.
That's wild. That is a crazy stat. Wow. 95% of the races. Yep. Yeah.
Who was the last team that won it back in 88? Was it when
that was
Siena
McLaren.
Was still there?
McLaren.
Oh, still McLaren.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, pretty impressive. They're making a comeback. And, again, I know it's like Red Bull. Oh, we're over it. I am so excited for the Drive to Survive series to come out. Netflix does such a good job. I think this is going to be a great storyline.
Agreed. We love to root against dominance, so, yeah.
Well, it's nice to see how the other teams respond to dominance, too, when they're being dominated actively.
Right.
So you get to see the likes of Ferrari and Mercedes, Toto Wolff doing his best to try to find a way into this, and has no chance whatsoever. Those loss of hope and those tears will be delicious to watch. Yeah, I'm with you.
Aaron, you got anything else for us on this season in F1?
That's it.
All right, can we do a couple questions?
Let's do it.
All right, so we have a few this week, so I don't think we're going to be able to get to them all because we still have the North State update, foot and mouth, and whatever the hell else we get to. So I'm going to let you guys choose based off the subject line in the email. So my girl is messy. We have my thieving roommate's boyfriend and keeping secrets from my wife.
Oh, these are all good.
Wow.
I'm going to go with two.
Thieving
boyfriends.
Thieving boyfriends.
All
right, this is a long one. So buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. My thieving roommate's boyfriend. All right. What's up, guys? I listen to you guys every week and love the show. I always think to myself, I wish I had a good enough life dilemma to write the show. Well, I think my dreams have finally come true. My roommate, let's call her Kelly, and I are longtime family friends. Our parents grew up together, and being that we are the same age, we naturally grew up with one another. After college, we both got jobs in the same area, so we decided we would get a place together for the first year or two to save some money. Recently, Kelly started dating this new dude. Let's call him Ronnie. I think someone else used the alias Ronnie not too long ago, so good on you. Ronnie has been a guest at our place on a more frequent basis as of the past few months. At first, I thought Ronnie was a pretty cool guy. He and I both like sports, play video games, and he seemed like a solid guy's guy. However, after getting to know Ronnie, something felt off. Some of his stories really started to not add up. He would tell me his story, and when I would bring it back up, the details have suddenly changed. This wouldn't be too big of a deal. We all tend to embellish stories to make them more interesting, but he was downright lying and making stories up to make himself sound cool. One such story was that he was friends with the Kings point guard, De'Aaron Fox. When I pressed him on this, he made excuses as to why he didn't have any pictures with him. He went as far as to show me that he had his contact in his phone. When he flashed me the contact, I, being petty, memorized the number and would later text that number, "What up, D-Fox?" To which the person on the other end said, "Wrong person." There are multiple other stories along these lines, but let's move on to the real problem at hand. Ronnie is a low-down, dirty thief. I noticed this some time ago when a bottle of tequila my father gave me for my birthday last year. When a bottle of tequila that my father gave me for my birthday last year suddenly went missing. Recently, one of my PS5 controllers also went missing. This was a huge red flag because a week prior to the disappearance of said controller, Ronnie kept asking why I had 3 controllers versus 2 or 4. Fair question, but I explained that my girlfriend bought me a custom controller recently for my birthday. I didn't really need the bonus controller, but it was a nice gesture. He kept passively making comments about how he needed an extra controller as he only had one and he would like if he and Kelly could play games together. I would have just simply offered him the controller if he didn't make it weird. A week ago, Kelly and I were going out to grab a bite to eat, and she said she needed to grab something from Ronnie's house. When we got there, she invited me to come in with her. Side note, Ronnie is 28 and still lives with his parents. Upon arrival, his mother answered and said, Ronnie would be right down. She offered us drinks and offered to show me around. In this massive house, I was given a tour of this massive house as I passed through the game room with a bar in which I noticed an oddly familiar-looking tequila bottle. Oh. And I also noticed 2 PS5 controllers tucked neatly next to the TV. I didn't say anything at the time, but later in the night, I did confront Ronnie about this. He said he doesn't know anything about the tequila, and it's his dad's bar, and so I should ask him. And after talking to me about the controller, he decided to buy one for himself. He argued for a moment before Kelly then returned to the table. I swept it under the rug for the evening as to not upset Kelly. The next day, before Ronnie left, I pulled him aside and gave him the opportunity to come clean. I told him that if he wasn't going to own it, that I would have to tell Kelly about this. He continued to play dumb, saying that he really didn't know what I was talking about, that there's tons of tequila in the world, and it's not that shocking that we would have a similar bottle. Later in the day, when Kelly came home, she mentioned that Ronnie was upset that I was accusing him of stealing. That bastard beat me to the punch and told Kelly prior to me talking to her about it. I calmly explained the situation to Kelly, and she started crying. At first, she took Ronnie's side, and things were pretty tense in our household. Yesterday, we talked for a few minutes, and she apologized that she got so upset, but she just doesn't think Ronnie would do that when his parents are, in quotes, loaded. What is my next move, guys? I really don't care who Kelly dates as long as she is happy. I also feel I deserve to not have to worry about some clown stealing my belongings anytime I am not home. Any advice would be sincerely appreciated. All right.
Whew. Well, that's
Aaron, you got anything?
That's a tough one. And especially because it's like, I hate to take Ronnie's side on this one, but unless your controller is like very specifically marked, I mean, you kind of do got to keep track of things, like, very closely. And instead of going to Ronnie first next time, go to the friend first, I think. Because if things start to add up, they will start to add up. But I understand that can be pretty treacherous when you're living with your roommate who's a longtime friend.
Yeah, and that this is a dude that she really likes. And, you know, how many more things need to go missing before...
Exactly.
You know, this, she cuts it off with this dude and he's out of your life for good. Like, I don't know. I think I would set him up. I would start buying nice bottles and swapping them out with water or something like that. And just kind of teeing him up. to, you know, entrapment, if you will.
I like the scandalous nest right there. Yeah. That's a good way
I think I would entrap him.
It might be a little fun for you two to do that. That's a project for you to undertake to see if you can catch Ronnie in the act, you know?
Yeah. I would see if you can't set it up so he is tempted to steal and either get it on camera or mark it with a very small but very specific marking, as y'all said earlier. I just think, yeah, I think you could have fun with this, but yeah, that situation sucks. No one wants to it's such a violation when anything gets stolen from you, and the fact that your childhood friend's boyfriend seems to be the culprit is it's tough. And I mean, yeah, there's also really no way to prove it. Because anyone could buy a PS5 controller, and unless this tequila bottle was a custom bottle, chances are there are other bottles of this tequila out
but
there.
But again, if you don't want to do that, just lock everything up in your room, I guess.
Yeah.
Don't let Ronnie in there, you know?
And just to play devil's advocate to Kelly, Winona Ryder was loaded, and she's a klepto and got arrested, so stuff happens.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Let's get to one more. Can we do the My Girl Is Messy one?
Yeah, let's do it. My Girl Is Messy.
All right, because this one, I was going through my email, and I was like, oh, my God. Okay, so, TBP, I am in serious need of some help, friends. My girlfriend is amazing in every way possible. She's tall, former D1 athlete. She has a great job at a law firm. She is beautiful, and she's really, really sweet and nice. Her only regular flaw is that she is very messy. Her hamper always looks like a bomb went off. She throws her dirty clothes on the ground. She will let old food sit just to expire in her fridge. And she leaves dishes in the sink for days on end. I could go on, but you kind of get the point. I love everything else about her, and we have discussed how I cannot stand the mess she leaves everywhere. She wants to move in together and get married. My only hesitation is the mess. I should mention, and this is probably bearing the lead here, I should mention she is 6 months pregnant with her child.
My guy, you haven't moved in with her yet? All right, you better figure this out, my guy, and just accept the fact that she is a dirty one and love the fact that she hopefully is in a law firm making good money. And you can be yourself the stay-at-home dad that cleans the house. Welcome to the show, my guy.
Yeah, that's...
He goes on.
That's a good take.
She's mentioned that if we were to move in together, obviously we could get a maid, but that doesn't solve the problem of the day-to-day mess. Obviously, I want to co-parent and raise our kid with as normal of upbringing as we can provide with a two-parent household, but I am worried about the mess. When we went to her parents' house for Thanksgiving, I got the impression that she was raised in a messy house. She was raised with many siblings, so I can understand this. However, even though the parents obviously cleaned up for the holiday, you can notice clutter tucked away. How can I make it clear to my girlfriend and soon-to-be baby mother that this is a big problem for me? Thank you for the advice. I hope Aaron is on the show today. Though I would love everyone's opinion on this, maybe a woman's perspective is what I need. Great show. Keep the laughs coming in 2024. Aaron, he's specifically asking for your help on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with the cleaning, right? Because her level of clean might be different than his level of clean. So if he can go to her and be like, listen, I understand that you're okay with this level of mess. It really bothers me. Can we do something about this? Can every other Saturday we do a cleaning party and then we treat ourselves? Can we have a maid come every other week or once a week? You know, if you're now living together, you know, hopefully you're sharing some expenses so you can, you know, afford the cost of a maid. Maybe that would really help. But I know it sounds childish, but yeah, incentivize it. You know, hey, if we do an hour of cleaning, I'll give you a foot massage for an hour or something like
that.
Hey, listen, pal.
You're opening up Pandora's box right there.
Yeah, listen, pal. You think the house is messy now? Wait till you have a toddler, fam. If she doesn't have time to clean now, guess who's not cleaning once there's a kid? And guess who is messier than your wife? A toddler.
Embrace the dirtiness, my guy.
Yeah, I would just...
And just get that maid.
Yeah.
Get the maid.
I mean, is it really a deal breaker? She's awesome in every way, except she's messy. Now, if she's like smelly messy.
Oh, that's different.
I once went to a girl's house and the house smelled like cat pee and there's stuff everywhere and I immediately made up an excuse to leave. Yeah. But you've obviously been with this lady long enough to see her 6 months into a pregnancy. So this isn't news to you, bro. This wasn't a deal breaker then. I don't think it could be a deal breaker now. I think Aaron is right. I think there's got to be some compromise. You got to figure out a way to make this work for you. But you got a kid on the way, bud, so I think you're just going to have to put up with the mess.
Gear up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like...
Strap on.
Certain people are just wired a certain way, right? Like, too late for that. If you're late, you're... if you're chronically late, then you don't think that way. If you're a messy person... You're just messy. Like, I work hard at being not so messy, but if you look at my studio 5 days out of the week, there's usually clothes on the ground. It's not the cleanest area, and stuff just closes the door. So maybe, I don't know your financial situation, get a room where she could be messy and keep the rest of the house clean. I don't know. Good luck to you, sir.
Or get a maid.
That's an option.
Like, move in with her. You can afford a maid now because you're sharing expenses.
That's right.
If she offered it, man, take it and run.
Get a maid. Get a maid. There you go. Problem solved. You're welcome. Aaron, excellent as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later. All right. We have to cram two segments into the last 5 minutes of the show. And I don't even want to do this one, but let's do your North State update or whatever. Here's your sound. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
Oh.
All right. It is time for the North State Update. Let's go real quick through this. So, going to men's soccer. I know I didn't talk about this since I got married on the 18th. They played on the 18th against Colorado State Pueblo.
Covered it last week, bud. You're good.
Oh, you guys did? Oh,
yeah, we did.
Perfect. Sweet. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, men's basketball is now 4-0. Women's basketball is currently 3-2. I didn't realize this. They played St. Mary's in an exhibition game. They lost 65-79. Good on the Cats right there. But let's get to the nitty-gritty, the beautiful, beautiful game of football. But let's do a little recap here. The Panthers beat the Vikings. Sorry, demolish the Vikings 35-0 in the Almond Bowl. But this is playoffs, baby. This is playoffs. PV came back with a chip on the shoulder, and they came with vengeance. They took the first half 14-6, and they didn't look back. They won 28-19 to take the North Section Division II title over the Panthers. Panther season is over now. Honestly, great season for them. Amazing season.
Shout out to Deion Coleman, averaged 187 yards per game and scored over 28 touchdowns this past season. Absolute monster.
Yeah, he is an absolute beast.
Is he a senior or junior? Do you know?
He is a senior this year. Yeah. So he actually had 2 touchdowns in this game. So good for him. He had 124 yards in this game as well. So still dominating when Chico needed it the most. But unfortunately, it just was not enough. So PV will be playing against Miramonte, the Matadors from Orienda, California. So that'll be a fun game for them. That game will be played. Give me 1 second. On the 1st, so on Friday at 7:30, they will be at home. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go check them out, go to Asgard Yard, 7:30 against Miramonte in the state playoffs. It'll be a fun one. That's my North State update.
All right.
Does that taste a little bitter in your mouth?
Yeah.
Does that hurt a little bit?
Yeah, I don't like PV. I don't like they stand for. I don't like what they represent.
Fair.
It's the uppity school of the two.
100%.
My grandfather coached at Chico High for 42 years. And, I don't like your colors.
I don't like your ketchup and mustard either.
That's fine.
Your condiment colors.
I didn't leave you any time to do foot and mouth. You want to just...
If you didn't see already, Garnacho had the goal of the season, the goal of the year.
Of your life.
One of the most amazing goals you'll ever see.
Of your life.
And every striker in the world dreams of a moment like that.
Unbelievable.
Ronaldo tried harder than life to be able to get a moment like that. He did succeed, finally. But Garnacho, a wonder kid, I want to say he's, 19, 20 years old?
Yeah, 20.
20 years old with that type of strike. It is a spectacular fashion. It had to be against my Blues. It had to be against the Toffees in Goodison Park when we're doing our best to fight off a relegation battle that we have been put into by our own demise.
Welcome.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Welcome. Yeah, yeah. So I would have been giving you more of that Garnacho talk because it was utterly
exquisite.
It was sheer perfection. One of the best strikes that could ever be struck. The only thing probably better than that is Zlatan Ibrahimovic's outside the box
With
strike
Sweden?
With